Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Elise Monroy joins us. She's the program manager for Nevada Overdose Data to Action. Fentanyl, it's a huge problem across the country and in particular here in the Silver State. She's here for the whole broadcast on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com. As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. I am always delighted to welcome back to the program Elise Monroy. She's program manager for Nevada Overdose Data to Action. So first question is, what is it?
So Nevada Overdose Data to Action is the state's main source of CDC funding for non-fatal and fatal overdose reporting. So what we do is overdose surveillance. So we report monthly on the state's overdoses, non-fatal overdoses, and twice a year on our fatal overdoses.
All right, so if we're talking 2 or 3 years ago, opioid epidemic was the big story, and everybody was covering it. Then COVID comes along, we're not hearing about the opioid epidemic. So has it gone away, or is it a really big problem still?
So it never stopped being a problem. So the state actually just released data from our program yesterday. In 2020, overdoses are up 55% from 2019, but we're seeing some really alarming increases in some specific populations. So the first half of 2020, overdoses were up 200% in the Hispanic community and 180% in the young adult, like 18 to 25 age range. So overdoses are climbing. And then I will also say, while a couple years ago, overdose was like the substance issue du jour, Nevada never stopped having a meth problem. Our meth problem, you know, preceded all of these overdose issues, and now what we're seeing is a fentanyl crisis. Fentanyl overdoses in 2020 were up 200%, and what we're seeing is a lot of fentanyl-laced stimulants like meth and cocaine that are driving a lot of the overdoses.
And would I be correct in saying that people don't even realize that they're being laced with fentanyl?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. So someone sent me a news story. This wasn't about a Nevada drug seizure, but in another state. But they're seeing fentanyl in everything. And we're seeing it in everything here, too. But in this other state, they had black market marijuana that was laced with fentanyl that killed people. So fentanyl is pervasive and almost undetectable. So that's why a good harm reduction strategy is for people who are using to use fentanyl test strips to test their drugs.
Man, you've been doing this a while. Mm-hmm. Are you shocked by the increase in these numbers?
I am shocked by the increase in like the Hispanic population specifically, and the youth numbers. I will say, you know, when you look at other states that have had really high rates of opioid overdose that's driven by an illicit pill market, kind of what you see is, or what you've seen is, you know, overdoses driven by pills, and then people move to injection drug use, and then you have high rates of HIV. So that's kind of what I was expecting to see. But fentanyl, they call people in the space call it the third wave of fentanyl. It has just hit the state so hard. People are just, what we're seeing is a lot of pressed pills, a lot of pressed cocaine, meth with fentanyl. And people are just one pill, and they don't know it's there, and they're dying. It's alarming.
More than alarming, and it's tragic because, you know, are we seeing other states with the same kind of numbers, or is this a Nevada-centric thing?
So states across the country in 2020 saw increases in their drug overdose. You know, it was people everywhere were just shut in, and they were removed from a lot of their social supports, family supports, and then medical and treatment supports. So across the country, we saw increases in overdoses, and now kind of our monthly surveillance, things are leveling out to where they kind of were pre-COVID, but Nevada is generally in line with other states.
All right, where is this coming from? I mean, is this Mexico production that's coming to the United States? Is it homegrown?
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
So a lot of the, and there have been a couple news stories in the last couple weeks about big drug seizures that are coming up across the border with this illicit fentanyl. I think that Nevada and probably across the country has a lot of work to do in setting up good surveillance systems so we can start better detecting fentanyl when it is in our drug supply. A large percentage of drugs that are seized in Nevada are not tested for things like fentanyl. So if we don't know what's there, we don't know what's killing people. And it's really hard for us to figure out where it's coming from.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more. It's a scary topic right after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan, we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube. Powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Elise Monroy. She's the program manager for Nevada Overdose Data to Action. We're talking about fentanyl. Why do you think that the Hispanic market has been hit so hard? Is there any reason that you can see? And what can we do about it?
So our program and programs like ours are currently trying to dive into the data to do some targeted outreach, outreach strategies to those communities. But kind of what we're seeing in the data so far is it's a lot of like ingested pills, so route by ingestion, which would be a pill or a drink. So what I'm thinking maybe could have happened, but again, we need to really get to the community to understand. But in 2020, a lot of people were cut off from their access to medical providers. So what we could be seeing is people that looked into their community to deal with things like pain management when they couldn't go to their doctor. So they just went into the community to find people that had pills, and those pills turned up to be deadly. That's a little conjecture on my part. But our program is starting outreach to convene with Latino and Hispanic leaders to understand really what the needs of the community are.
Do you have concerns, and I'm not co-joining these in the sense of being the same issue, but you know, we've seen with the vaccinations for COVID that government has not had as much success in being able to promote the safety of vaccines to the communities. And so including the Hispanic community, African American community, and many other communities are looking at vaccines and are saying, we don't want to do this. We're concerned about the effects down the road. We're concerned about lots of things. We're concerned about, an implant of a tracking device. I mean, all kinds of stories that are out there. So in a way, it seems to me that the people have lost their trust in regular government sources, whether they be the CDC or, their family doctor. Are you concerned that doing things through government is going to be difficult to convince people that this is a problem, that you're not going to come under that same branding?
That's a really good question that I could probably opine on for a long time, but
we have time.
Yeah. I think the current state of like public trust in public health officials and the government specifically, it's not great right now. And I think it's reasons like that programs like mine and others are really looking to go into the community to talk to people about what their concerns are, what their needs are, and how the community can support their people in moving through things like drug use and substance use disorder.
You know, pain management has been an interesting thing from a prescription point of view, because doctors and pharmacies are so restricted on their ability to give out medication, mm-hmm. even when it's been authorized by a doctor. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, you're limited to a 1 month or a 3 month supply, and you've got to go back to the doctor every 6 months, which is incredibly inconvenient mm-hmm. For working people. And telemedicine is starting to help. It's not where it needs to be all the way yet. But to give up 3 hours mm-hmm. to go to a doctor's appointment to get your, so is that part of the problem, that people are taking these other medications that are illicit because they can't get it, or it's too inconvenient to get it through normal channels?
So that is a really good question, and full transparency, when I was with Governor Sandoval, I actually wrote the controlled substance prescribing bill that the state is working under now. So our program is kind of doing some data analysis to try to test the hypothesis that you just put out. You know, have people move to illicit drugs because of a controlled substance prescribing bill. So we look forward to producing more information about that, because we're not really seeing that yet. But something I will bring up is we have seen controlled substance prescriptions decline slowly since 2018. But something that we're starting to see in 2020, there was a 5% increase in deaths by gabapentin, which okay. is, so it's a non-controlled seizure medication. So that's interesting and alarming that we're starting to see deaths by these prescribed non-controlled substances.
So where do you go with that?
So looking more at the data to try to understand kind of what is driving these issues and continuing to work with prescribers and doctors across the state.
Let me open it up because, you know, we went through a long period of where pain management was the byword for doctors. Mm-hmm. If you can prescribe something that will help somebody with pain management, that's a good thing. That's mm-hmm. where you want to be. And then it kind of got out of control. Mm-hmm. Is that reality?
That is reality. So in the early 90s, pain was added as the fifth vital sign. So then it became something that prescribers had to treat. So I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be right. one on TV, but I worked really hard with the state's prescribers, hospital association, the medical association on AB 474. And something I learned was that pain is almost always a symptom of an underlying issue. So the management of pain for some people is going to be what they need to help them. But for other people, it's the cause of an underlying medical issue that needs to be addressed. So the state coming in to address the patient safety around controlled substance prescribing to address things like misuse and diversion was something from a public health standpoint that I think was the right thing to do.
All right, let's take another break. Back more with Elise Monroy after this timeout.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you, but we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers. We continue our conversation with Elise Monroy. She's program manager for Nevada Overdose Data to Action. What's law enforcement's role in all of this?
So law enforcement's role in all of this is it's multifaceted and twofold. So drug seizure and arrest. In Nevada, law enforcement has been really great partners in getting their officers trained and distributed to partner with naloxone distribution programs. And there are a couple communities that are working or have worked for a couple of years to try and do diversion programs where they are, instead of taking people to jail, they're connecting them to treatment services.
Okay, and how successful are the treatment services?
So treatment is going to be a spectrum for a lot of people. People can enter treatment and then go back around through the spectrum. This is actually a really good opportunity, I think, for me to talk about something that I'm passionate about, which is the treatment system that we have put up. So right now, we have a very light switch approach. People can stay in their drug use or they can go to treatment. But what we know about just the stages of behavior change, that's not conducive to the spectrum of the lives that people live. So what I'm looking forward to in the next couple years, as we have things like the opioid settlement and some policy change, is to building up supports across the spectrum. We know that a decision to enter treatment is not always going to be the right thing for somebody, so it's important for the state to have a system that supports things in between drug use and treatment. So that would be things like syringe service or needle exchange, fentanyl test strips to test drugs, and naloxone distribution programs. Strategies like that help to keep people injury-freer, reduce injury, but they also keep people alive until they're ready to make that decision to enter treatment.
Okay, so is this drug habitual or addictive? Because there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. So opioids specifically, which fentanyl is an opioid, but there's some research that you can find that shows that someone's brain chemistry can be changed after 4 days of use of an opioid. Jeez. So there is definitely a chemical dependency aspect to opioid use.
All right, so that makes it that much more difficult to get past it.
Mm-hmm. But there's also what we're seeing now is what is called polysubstance use, where you have fentanyl or opioids mixed with stimulants, and that also has complications for drug treatment, because stimulant use disorder is treated different than opioid use disorder. So when you have the two together, it is complicated for treatment.
Okay, for those that may not be aware, how would you describe the effect of opioid? Is it a downer versus an upper?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So an opioid is a suppressant, and again, I'm not a doctor,
right.
But so some of the risks of opioid overdose would be depressed heart rate and breathing that can lead to an overdose, which is why we encourage people who are at risk or in active use to have things like naloxone on hand, because naloxone is an opioid antagonist. It kind of intervenes in the brain's receptor between the kind of receiving point and the opioid to cut off the connection to stop the opioid overdose.
All right, how well are people able to identify loved ones who may be suffering from this?
So I have said for years that we are all one car accident or fall away from needing an opioid prescription that puts us at risk of overdose. So I was talking to one of my staff yesterday. He said, why don't we have naloxone in first aid kits? Because it should be in the home. But addiction is a hard thing to it's a hard thing to identify. So I would encourage people, if they think they are have a loved one at risk, to go online to places like Foundations for Recovery or even the state's website to find resources to identify if someone that you love might be struggling.
Okay, where do you see this going? Because I mean, we've had so much publicity about it over the years, but it seems to be getting worse, not better.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Well, the data tells us that you're right. I think that's a really good question. So where do I see this going? I hope that, again, through things like the opioid settlement, where we'll have billions of dollars hopefully flowing into the state, we can set up systems that can help people who are moving through these stages of life. Addiction substance dependency is something that's still really stigmatized, but a lot of Nevadans and a lot of Americans struggle with this or know someone that struggles with it. So hopefully we can set up systems that support people through their use to recovery. Because it feels to me, Sam, like we don't necessarily have an opioid or a meth issue. We have an addiction problem, and we need to build a stronger behavioral health system to support people in their addiction.
And it's not just a poor people's problem. I mean, this goes through every class, correct?
That's correct, yes. This is not an... So substance use and opioid use disorder does not discriminate.
So you were saying we're going to see probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 billion mm-hmm. coming through the Attorney General's office to be able to help with this.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a wish list, where would you like to see some of that money put?
So if I had a wish list, I would really like to see funds put in to support kind of that middle spectrum that I explained, support for syringe service, fentanyl test strips, and naloxone distribution. Just because somebody is using drugs doesn't mean they want to die or should die, so we should support systems that help to keep people alive until they're ready and able to make a decision to get treatment.
Is there information and help available already in the schools and in higher education?
Yeah, so there is a lot of information available for people who are looking for treatment supports. Actually, so anyone in Nevada can go to treatmentconnection.com and put in their actually zip code and insurance if they have it, and all of the treatment availability will pull up in their area so they can get connected to treatment and they can send a referral.
You know, with the Hispanic community in particular, because you referred to them at the beginning of the program, who are the people they listen to? Is it the church? Is it family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who can people reach out to, or who do they reach out to get help or information?
That's a really good question, and I don't feel comfortable speaking on behalf of the Hispanic community, but I will say our program is looking to build out some Latinx and Hispanic outreach. So I would be happy, Sam, to come back next year, and hopefully we can talk about all of the outreach that we have done to the Hispanic community to understand what their needs are around substance use and getting people connected to services.
And we should also make the point, which we've done in the past on the program, which is when we use the phrase Hispanic community, it is a very,
very broad. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is multiple countries, multiple different groups, and it's really not a good thing to lump it all together.
Mm-hmm.
But when the statistics are so scary, 200% increase, that's frightening.
Yeah.
Thank you for the information. Mm-hmm. It's sad we have to talk about this stuff, but I'd rather talk about it than not.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm really happy to be here.
And you are very welcome to come back with an update next year.
Great, thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Don't forget, another way of watching Nevada Newsmakers is to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.